In Hawaii, we may be particularly sensitive to this. Our history isn't always flattering. Some say we don't gain much by ignoring shameful episodes, pointless wars, genocide, massacres, and slavery. No country or culture has an entirely heroic past. So how do we preserve the memory of man's inhumanity to man and do it in a way to inform, enlighten, and perhaps spur us to say never again? Liz Savchenko is the director of the Guantanamo Public Memory Project. She's in town to speak at a UH symposium on the politics of representation, reflections on controversial issues in museums and related places in Japan and Hawaii. And she's with us this morning. Good morning, Liz.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on the show. You can't look too hard at history without uncovering the extremely unpleasant, can you?
Yes, it's true.
Is anyone exempt from that? Does anyone have an entirely blameless history?
I don't think so, but everybody has both sort of very inspiring aspects of their histories as well as ones that are very difficult to face.
Why face the ones that are difficult to face?
I think because, you know, one of my favorite guiding quotes has always been that the past is a reservoir of possibilities for the present. And this really helps us to understand why we need to examine all aspects of our histories and continue to re-examine them every day for both the parts that befuddle us or confuse us because we can't imagine, how we could commit, make decisions that were so harmful to other people, as well as to see the aspects that, we can only aspire to have achieved in our own lives. So to really see the ways that individuals and societies have grappled with incredibly tough questions and, taken a whole host of different actions that we can now learn from is really the great benefit of examining all aspects of our histories.
If you took a really critical look at history and just focused on, the ugly aspects, that wouldn't be really any more real than making heroes out of everybody, would it?
No, and I think it doesn't help us to learn either because, I think it's really important to individualize and humanize these kind of overwhelming mass kind of events, mass genocides or, wars on a world scale, and really understand that as a series of choices that individual human beings made. So humanizing those people and understanding the choices that people made is critical for understanding how these could have come about and therefore preventing them from happening again. And humanizing is not the same as legitimizing somebody's actions, but it's to really understand that it's an individual who had a whole set of personal and political relationships that shape every day of their lives, as it does for each of us.
Frequently an individual who makes kind of history altering decisions that harm a great deal of a great many people is just kind of a little flawed, insecure, troubled human being. I'm thinking of, Hitler, any number of people like that who are just sort of little beleaguered creatures.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes it does help to sort of bring people down to a human scale, but also to lift up people who history has forgotten or that we haven't accorded that hero status, and to understand that the small acts that individuals make every day can also be contributing to some of the most inspiring changes that we've managed to make.
When you study history, there's this kind of mood swing from the atrocious to the heroic, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Although, and I also think, again, that that there's a sort of, there's heroism in every atrocity and there's, atrocity in every act of heroism. And this is not to say that, again, we should ever lose our moral compass and sort of, say that sort of everything is equally okay, or slip into some kind of moral relativism. But it's to really understand that every decision is a process of grappling with really difficult questions.
And so in order to understand those decisions, you really have to get right inside the time period, understand that those pressures.
And I think you have to look at all of the different actors that were that shaped the place or the event that, that you're interested in trying to understand. So, for instance, with the history of the U.S. Naval Base at Guantanamo Bay, it's come to represent, you know, in for a lot of people, a kind of very, you know, a symbol of, you know, either it's actually come to represent very contradictory symbols. For some people, it's, you know, a great bulwark against global terrorism that people are very, you know, make people feel much safer here in the United States. And for others, it's sort of a symbol of America's sort of, you know, abandonment of all principles of human rights. So to kind of take both of those stark symbolisms apart and look at both all of the people who make Guantanamo what it is through its 100-year history, including recognizing the naval base as this kind of as a military community that many people remember as the fondest and most wonderful place they ever lived, a place that for refugees, some people remember it who are held there in the 1990s as a place of a sort of safe haven where they were rescued at sea and cared for there, while others remember it as a prison that they never should have been held in. And sort of really understanding the people who worked there, served there, were held there, lived there, the Cubans who built the base, and understanding all of their different stories. And that's what we're trying to do in the Guantanamo Public Memory Project, is to really explore all the many different moments in Guantanamo's past, and understand them not necessarily as all having led up to this one moment we're in today, but also understanding all of the different people who shaped it.
And bringing that perspective to Hawaii and talking about the history of Hawaii and of Japan, now you're bringing in, you know, you're in a stolen kingdom with a large Japanese-American population, many of whose family members were wiped out in a, you know, by the atomic bomb. So you can't, you know, moral relativism isn't really an option in that framework, is it?
Mm-hmm. And nor should moral relativism be an option in any framework.
Yeah.
But it is really understanding, you know, tracing the individual lives of all of the, you know, the people who served in Pearl Harbor, the people who were interned here, the people who lost family, and you know, the Native Hawaiians who observed all of this, you know, with their own context that they were bringing to these events, and really understanding how all of those personal histories and individual experiences shaped, you know, what the conditions that everybody lived under. And again, that is only to sort of be able to clarify and help us better address the deep questions of right and wrong that are raised here. I just want to emphasize it's not about sort of blurring any of those lines.
Is there hope that we will someday be able to say never again?
I think one of the things, as founding director of something called the International Coalition of Sites of Conscience, which was a network of places of memory all around the world that dealt with human rights issues, we recognize that never again is very easy to say and incredibly difficult to achieve, and it requires inviting people to ask these tough questions of themselves every day and to grapple with these issues all the time. And so it's never over. But as long as we're always asking questions,
we'll
never repeat them.
The struggle can't ever stop, can it?
Mm-hmm.
Thanks very much for talking with us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Liz Savchenko is the director of the Guantanamo Public Memory Project. She'll be speaking at a UH symposium on the politics of representation. It's free, and it'll be at the Bishop Museum's Atherton Halau tomorrow evening at 6, and you can learn more at hpr2.org.